The 2014 Love Life Women's Conference in St. Louis, Missouri, September 25th through the 27th. Register today.
Thanks again for listening today. And to order today's offer, just head to our website or call. Until next time, remember, glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This is the key to enjoying everyday life.
Depression, anxiety, panic attacks, guilt, self-esteem, and stress. Problems that affect individuals and families every day. Dr. Frederick L. Stevens is a licensed psychologist who has extensive counseling experience. Providing counseling from a Christian perspective, he specializes in helping people overcome these problems and build their self-esteem, reduce guilt, and improve marital relationships. Dr. Frederick L. Stevens, located in Port St. Lucie, is available at 772-398-4377.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
The reason why God does not want us to have statues of Mary or Jesus or anybody else is because He wants us to see by faith into the next realm and not put our sight in this realm, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He wants us to walk by faith. And see, without faith, people don't see God. They won't know God. Unless they put their trust in Him, they'll never come to know Him. So this is the reason why He has us to walk by faith. The other world is only seen through the eyes of faith. Now, there are things we see right now. There are many things I see right now in the spirit, not in the natural realm, but in the spirit, much potential. But what I want to drop on you right now is, how do we get from where we are seeing it to where we are possessing it? God is a God of His word. If He says something, He means it. No ifs, ands, or buts. But God's promises mean nothing unless someone acts on them through faith. They will mean nothing to you, even though what God says, He means. What God has said has to be. But until you or I act on that promise, it means nothing to us. Get for me Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Tell somebody, I'm blessed and not cursed. Do you understand tonight that God is committed to His children's prosperity? Tell someone, God is committed to my prosperity. I'll say it again. The Lord is committed to your prosperity. We'll talk about this another time, but you know when it says the Lord became poor that we might be made rich? Poor in the sense that He drew nothing. He was poor concerning this world system. He drew nothing from the world system. And another facet of that is He became poor because He came from a place where there were no limitations, and He took on limitation. So He became poor. But in order that you and I might be made rich, in order to connect us to that other dimension where there are no limitations, all right? So God has blessed us and not cursed us, and He is committed to our prosperity. How many times have you stood upon a promise but never proceeded any further than just standing on it? I'm standing on the word. Have you ever done that? Come on, be honest. All y'all lying over here. Have you ever done that? Just shake your head, look straight ahead, anything, but it's true. We've stood on promises, but sometimes wonder, you know, how come I'm not going any further? I'm standing on the word. We're going to figure this out. Now, understand something. God is the author of all creative acts. All creative acts. God is the author of it. The devil hasn't created anything. He's not done anything new. Same old bag of tricks. God is the author of all creative acts. Now, I'm going to read a little bit from the Amplified Version just to bring a little bit more emphasis on something, but give me Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. Verse 1 and 2, in the beginning God, in parentheses, prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and an empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. The Spirit of God was moving, parentheses, hovering, brooding, over the face of the waters. Okay? We see here, from this point, going into verse number 3, God began to create the principal elements of the earth by the spoken word. Okay, from this point forward, verse 3, it says, and God said. Okay, everything started to come into manifestation through his spoken word. Make note of that. In the midst of the chaos and the confusion, the Spirit of God was moving upon the face of the deep. In other words, before God even spoke, the Spirit of God, the creative force, the Spirit of God, the one, the Holy Spirit that creates everything, was already moving upon the face of the deep, but God hadn't spoken. So the creative power was already there. It was already there. It just hearkened to a word. It moved when it moved and on the word that God spoke. Amen? It was chaos and it was confusion. See, even in the midst of your chaos, in the midst of stuff that goes on around you to distract you and to discourage you and to try to block you, do you know the creative power is right there? You don't have to be in on an island to yourself and no trouble, and nothing bothering you for God to move in your behalf. The creative power is right there all the time. It don't matter where you are, what's going on, or how you've been distracted, that creative power still is there waiting, brooding over the water, waiting for a word to be spoken in order to create, amen, in order to bring about a situation that is in alignment with what's going on in heaven. No matter what the situation is, all right? So it's possible to have the power to recreate or to create, but still not actually be creating. I'll say it again. Therefore, it is possible to have the power, the anointing, the ability to create, but not be creating. The Holy Spirit was there, brooding, moving upon the face of the water, but nothing happened until God spoke. And when God spoke, the creative forces went into action. And the Holy Spirit created these things. Many have stood on promises or are standing on promises and don't know how to bring them into reality. Say amen. Tonight we're going to take a look into this. I hope I get to most of it tonight. Go with me to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. 1 John 4 and verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Now, the second part of that verse, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay, say that with me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Say it one more time. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. All right. Now, Ephesians, and we're building. Ephesians 1 and verse 19 through 20. I want to read this from the Amplified Version again. Verse 19 of Ephesians 1 says, and so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Goes on to say, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which is to come. All right? So we see here that there's a power. He that is in you, the anointing of the Holy Spirit in you is greater than all the forces in the world. Those forces that try to conform or that try to conform you, the Holy Spirit is greater at transforming you. You can overcome conforming to the world, amen, by being transformed. He that is in you is greater. There's no real comparison. He that has created everything, he that is the creative force and power of God, is on the inside of us. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens our mortal body, all right? Now, in 1 Timothy 6, and stay with me, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. In other words, Paul is telling Timothy here, guard that which is committed to your trust. There's a creative anointing and ability on the inside of you. We call him the Holy Spirit. You have to guard him. You have to keep him. You have to protect him. Not that he needs us to protect him, but if we're going to be properly related to him and allow the purpose and plan of God to manifest through our life in his person, then we've got to guard him. I'm going to show you why. But Paul told Timothy, keep that which is committed to your trust. Certain things you have to avoid. Certain things you have to stop listening to. The woman with the issue of blood, when she heard, what she heard caused hope to come. There are many things that will try to steal your hope. There are many things that will try to crowd till you're not living from the inside out. You're living from the outside in. So look at someone and tell them, guard your heart. Guard the deposit. Matthew 13, verse 31. We're going to show you how to go from standing on the word to bringing it into manifestation. And what you experience in between. Matthew 13, verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. We'll stop there. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Kingdom is like a grain of mustard seed, a very small seed that a man took and sowed into his field. All right? Two things there, seed and field. The seed, of course, is the word of God. The field or the soil or the ground is your heart, your spirit. Okay, stay with me because you're going to see how to bring into manifestation promises that you've been standing on and believing for. Okay, the seed is the word and the soil is your heart. Now, when a man takes the seed or the word and plants it in himself, not just out there. When we talk about ground, the good ground, the wayside here, the stony ground, the thorny ground. That's the condition of hearts. When a man takes the word and sows it in his heart or in his, plants it in himself, two things will happen. I want you to take note of this. Two things will happen. It will, number one, develop. The word will develop and it will expand.
The faith crisis.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.